Thank you for joining Temple Baptist Church as Pastor Brady Martin preaches on a new series called One, where he shares one verse, one truth, to share with one person.
We want to invite y'all to participate as we open up God's Word. You know, we love new things. We love new things. But do y'all know what we love more than new things? Old things made new. You see, we love to see something that was broken become beautiful again. Something that seems to have seen better days restored. We love to see old things made new. That's why people love the show Fixer Upper. That's why they love, that's why people love the show Fixer Upper, is because they're taking a house that looks broken down, a house that doesn't look great, and they're making it beautiful again. They're restoring it. We love to see old things made new. But I have to be honest with you, as I've watched that show from time to time, sometimes they'll go to this house and I'm thinking, who would pay that money for that house? There's no way this can be a beautiful house. But Chip and Joanna Gaines have another plan. They can see something I don't see. And by the end of the show, when you get to the big reveal where they take the things off and they look at the house and the people start crying, they say, my goodness. And you're like, wow, that house really can be awesome. Because Chip and Joanna could see something that I couldn't see in that moment. We love to see old things made new. But can you imagine a show where they just went to the latest subdivision in Dallas and said, you know what, we're going to make a show about making these houses in the subdivision. We're going to build this one. You watch the show and they say, next week we're going to build the one that looks exactly the same three doors down. You see, I'm not sure many people would watch that show. But they will watch Fixer Upper. It's a cultural sensation because it is hardwired in us that we love to see old things made new. You see, it's actually hardwired in us because the entire story that we've entered into as humanity, the whole world, the whole story is actually one big Fixer Upper story of something old being made new. And actually, that's your story too. This morning, if you're here, I want you to know your story is one where something old is made new again. And that's what I want us to see this morning. We are hardwired to love to see old things made new, brokenness turned into beauty. But let's look how God is going to do that in you and in our world. 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I'm going to read this passage to us. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold. This word behold means look. Look, everybody, your attention, wherever it is, look right here, he's saying, behold, the new has come. And here's what you're going to see this morning, our one truth. That if you have a relationship with Christ, you are being made new. It's that simple. If you have a relationship with Christ, you are his fixer-upper project. If you have a relationship with Christ, you are being made new. But I'm afraid that becoming a Christian has been so watered down in our culture that it really doesn't mean a lot. People think of it as a slight adjustment of their lifestyle. They'll start going to church on Sunday. Maybe they'll drink a little bit less. Or maybe they'll quit using four-letter words, all of which is a good thing to do. But here's the thing. Being a Christian is far more than drinking less, not using four-letter words, or coming to church on Sunday. It's actually about going from being dead to alive, from being lost to being found. And this scripture says, from being old to becoming new again. It's actually more than you think, because what God wants to do in your life is a new creation project. He wants to make you his fixer-upper. Sometimes I'll be counseling a family or a young couple, and a family member will, after a young couple gets married, one of their parents will often say, you know what? I don't even recognize you anymore, especially in conflict. I don't even recognize you anymore. You're becoming so much like your spouse. I don't even recognize you anymore. And obviously, that can be good or bad depending on what your spouse is like. But what they say is, you're spending so much time with that person, you are becoming like them, so much so that I don't recognize the old you. You see, what Paul is saying here and what we're going to learn today is that one thing that we know is as we enter into a relationship with Christ, the more time we spend with him, then hopefully people will look at us and say, I don't even recognize you anymore. You're beginning to look so much like Jesus that I don't even recognize the old you anymore. Because you are this new fixer-upper project, becoming more and more like Jesus. So let's dive into our verse. Let's dive into our verse this morning, just phrase by phrase. Let's begin. It begins with this word, if. It's this condition. If anyone. If anyone. And I want us to clearly see this morning what's called the universal call of the gospel. It's given to anyone, everywhere, without distinction. Young, old, American, Hispanic, black, white, rich, poor, immigrant, refugee, citizen, illegal immigrant, anyone, town drunk, those addicted to meth, that woman who's been unfaithful to her husband and married five times and the guy she's living with now isn't even her spouse, anyone. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. We've got to get this if anyone thing in our hearts. Because I kind of think we sometimes think about it like this, if anyone like me comes. But that's not what he's saying. He's not saying if anyone like me. What he's saying is if anyone, anyone, rich, poor, black, white, Hispanic, American, it does not matter if anyone will come to Christ, he will be a new creation. Anyone, young or old or anything in between, if anyone comes, they will be in Christ, a new creation. So it says, if anyone is in Christ, what do these words in Christ mean? We've noticed this all across the New Testament. It's Paul's favorite phrase, in Christu. He says here, in Christ. It's two simple words, an incredibly important doctrine called the union with Christ. It's one that many theologians have written large books about our relationship with him. One way to think about union is a marriage. When we are united to someone in marriage, we have a union with them. We talk about marriage as a union between one man and one woman, that kind of thing. But what we're saying is union with Christ is a relationship, a permanent, eternal relationship that you have with Jesus. And it says, if anyone is in Christ, that they have this union with him. They've been adopted by the Father. That they have union with Christ. This means that us being in Christ doesn't just tell us we are not going to hell. It also shows us what we are becoming. If you are in Christ, then you will become like Christ, just like if you are in a marriage, you're going to become like your spouse, for better or worse. You see, when we are in Christ, we see our future. You see, the Christian life, for many people come to know Jesus. They say they come to know Jesus, and it's often to try to get out of hell free card. But instead, what the gospel is saying is, here's what you can become in Christ. You can become a new creation. You can become like Jesus. Old things can be made new. Brokenness can become beautiful. You see, the call of the gospel is not just to avoid hell, but it's to get Jesus. He's actually better than not going to hell. We actually believe Jesus is something worth attaining to. So it says, if anyone is in Christ, and then we get this phrase that we're going to spend most of our time on. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. What a stunning phrase. A new creation. You see, God had promised to make the world beautiful again. And Paul is saying that if we have a relationship with Jesus, that promise has already begun in us. Think about it this way. If your life could be seen as a house, if your life, think about it as a house. Over here, you've got your marriage room. Over here, you've got your finance room. Over here, you've got your work. Over here, you've got your parenting. And over here, you've got your anger issues. And over here, you've got your words. And over here, you've got the way you serve people. But your whole house, this whole house, is representative of your entire life. And so as you look and you examine your entire life and you look at each of those areas, what Paul is saying is that if you have a relationship with Christ, Jesus has come and bought the property and is saying, look, I have plans for that room. I have plans for that room. Oh, your finances? I've got plans to make you new in that area. Oh, your marriage? I have plans for that area. Oh, your parenting? I've got plans for that area. Finances, I got plans. Your work life, I've got plans there. Jesus is coming and laying stake to all of your life and saying, I am going to make every area of your life new again. You see, often our lives, though, we're kind of embarrassed for Jesus to come to some of those rooms, right? Y'all have that room in your house that you put all the stuff in, you don't let anybody in? Yeah, some of y'all nodding amen into that. You see, some of us have rooms like that with Jesus. We have things we just want to keep from him that we don't want to let him in, but Jesus is coming and saying, I'm laying stake, I've bought the whole property, and I'm a better designer than Chip or Joanna. He's got better plans to renovate your house, your life, than you could ever thought possible. You may say to me, oh, Pastor, I can't see how this is ever going to be there. I'm saying, listen, I couldn't see how those houses are going to be beautiful either, but if Jesus is better than they are, then I'm going to tell you, you've got good things coming. Jesus knows how to fix your life just the way he wants to do it. So I want to encourage you. Your house, those areas, God is making it a fixer-upper project. God saw the beautiful in your brokenness and claimed it as his own fixer-upper project. He's going room to room. Now he's going to need to take some old things out, and sometimes we don't like that. But sometimes we have to let those old things go. Because God loves taking old things and making them new again. And if you are in Christ, he's doing that with you. The project may take longer than you want. It'll actually take your entire life. That's what's called sanctification. But even though the process may be longer than we want, I promise you, if you are in Christ, he's making you new. But I'm afraid that when Jesus comes to start working, we like to put up a lot of resistance. We like to hold on to those old things. We like to say things as, you know, I don't like change. I don't like change. That's like the number one thing people like to say at church, right? We don't like change. And I'm like, yeah, I like dollar bills better too. Anyways, yeah, it was terrible. All right, so, but here's the thing. We'd say that all the time. We don't like change, but change is the essence of the Christian life. You're never going to become like Jesus unless you're committed to change for his glory. We will never become like Christ unless we become less like us and more like him, which means changing to become like him. This means from room to room, as Jesus comes into your life and he comes in and demands your all in the area of finances, we got to change. When he comes and says, you got to change the way you're parenting, we've got to change. When he comes to the way that you treat other people and the way you see other people, and he says, listen, you got to start seeing them the way I see them, we've got to change. Here's the deal. When Jesus comes and calls you to change and you tell him, I don't like change, Jesus ain't hearing it. He wants you to change because he is committed to you becoming beautiful and new again. He's not going to let you stay in your old ways. Jesus loves you too much for that. Jesus loves you too much to not let you change. And so, what I want to do this morning is I want us to think and do what we're going to call a new creation spiritual checkup. A new creation checkup this morning. You see, if you are the same as you were 6 months ago, there's a problem. If you are the same as you were 2 years ago, there's a problem. If you are the same as you were 18 months ago, there's a problem. You may be saying, Pastor, but at least I ain't getting worse. I understand you. I hear that, and that's good. Praise God for that. But I want to tell you, God's plans for you are better than not just getting worse. His plans for you are becoming like Jesus himself. So let's do this new creation checkup. It's going to hurt a little bit. I have to be honest. I don't like going to checkups to the doctor because they never tell you anything good. They never, like, if it's all good, then it's just like you paid $25 copay and you're out the money. But the bad things are always looming over you. So we understand it may hurt a little bit, but here's the thing, change is worth it. So let's do a little spiritual checkup, new creation checkup this morning. Let's ask this first question. Do you think with a new mind, if you're called to be a new creation, you are this new creature, you have been made new, so your whole body has been, you are a new person spiritually in Christ. Let's check it out. Do you think with a new mind? Do you think with a new mind? In Romans 12:2, it tells us to not be conformed to the world, but the only way that you can be not conformed to the world is through your mind, the way you think. Do you think like the world or do you think like Christ? I often see people more shaped by Fox News or CNN than the good news of Jesus Christ. You see, I see more people shaped by what the world is saying, whether it's on the right or the left or any other thing. They're more shaped by that than they are by the Word of God, because they spend a lot more time on Twitter and a lot more time on watching news stations than they do in the Word of God. Their minds are actually being shaped more sometimes by television shows than they are by the Word of God. It's nothing against television shows, but what it's saying is we must be making sure our minds are being new. They must be renewed all the time, because we do not drift towards holiness. No house has ever just sat there, and Chip and Joanna bought the house on Fixer Upper, and they bought the house and they said, you know what? We're just going to let it sit for 6 months and think it's going to look great after that. It takes some work. It takes some planning. They've got to actually draw the plans up. And I want to say, if you are new, you've got to renew your mind. If you have been declared a new creation in Christ, I want to encourage you. Are you renewing your mind? What's going in your head? How often are you reading your Bible? Are you engaged in a Sunday school class? Are you coming to a small group? In the sermon, are you paying attention? Are you discussing the things of God as a family? Are you reading good Christian books to encourage your understanding of Scripture, theology, and the Christian life? Do you think with a new mind? Or is your mind more shaped by the world? So let me ask you. This last phrase of this verse says, the old has passed away and the new has come. So if you were letting your spouse take this quiz for you today about you, and your spouse said, does it look more like the old way of before he was a Christian or the new way now that he's a Christian, what would they say? With the way you think, is it the old or the new? Okay, probably somewhere in between, but let's think through that. We need to be thinking about how to have a new mind. So second question, do you see with new eyes? Do you see with new eyes? Do you see the way Jesus sees? You see, we should see the world differently than non-Christians. There should be more hope and joy and peace in our lives. We know the one who's in control of all things. We know the one who has made every sunrise. We know the one who made every bird chirp. We know the one who's made every flower, every tree, every person. We should learn to see with new eyes the beauty that's all around us. There's such a contrast between the way we used to see and the way we now see now that we know Christ. We sing things like, I once was blind, but now I see. But often what we think is, I couldn't see quite well and I got some new glasses. What we're saying is, the way you see the world as a Christian is remarkably different than the way non-Christians see the world. I'm afraid that Christians often just basically take the way the world sees the world and just basically says, we'll add a little Christian values to it. But we actually see the world completely differently. We see it with Christ's eyes. So when you say, do I have eyes, new eyes, do I see with new eyes? I wanna ask you this. When you approach a situation and you ask this question, how would Jesus see this situation? How would Jesus see this person? How would Jesus approach this? How would he see this? If you would see it the same way, then good job. If not, we got some room for renovations in the way we see. But do you have a new mind? Do you have new eyes? Thirdly, do you speak with a new mouth? If you're a new creation, then you should speak with a new mouth. This one's tough. The Bible has a lot to say about the way we use our words. Proverbs tells us that we can either cut people down or build people up. Our words are incredibly powerful. And as new creations, we are called to use our words as ambassadors for Christ. Just a few verses down, it's going to say, and we are ambassadors for Christ. Y'all hear me say all the time, I say, America is not our home, it's our assignment. And some of you are like, what does that mean, Brady? What are you talking about? America's not our home, it's our assignment. Here's what I mean. He's going to say, because your hope is in the new creation, you are being made new, you're being made for the future glory, your home is nowhere in this world. And because your home is nowhere in this world, Paul tells us that if you are in Christ, you are an ambassador for Christ. And here's what he means by this. Do y'all know how we have ambassadors to China? They live in China. They have a little area that they've claimed as U.S. sovereign territory, and they have an embassy there in China. But that American person, that person was sent out from America, is an ambassador there in the embassy. And his job there is to promote the good of the United States in China, right? Everybody understands how that works. Does that make him Chinese? No, because he's not, ultimately, China is not his home. It's his assignment. In the same way, we are called to be ambassadors for Christ because once we are new creations, our home is not in this world. Our home, because we are new creations, is in the new creation, the new heavens and new earth. Our home is coming. Our home is in heaven. That is where our heart will belong. That is where our home is, and we are sent from there on assignment to do his will here as his ambassadors. So America is not our home. Let's not get too attached to Texas, America. Let's not get too attached to our own houses. Let's not get too attached to this world, because this world is not our home. It is our assignment. I'm telling you, one day this world will be gone, but Jesus' hope will last forever. You see, this is our assignment. Do you use your mouth as a spokesperson for the King? Do your words come out as someone who is going as an ambassador for Christ? Are we using our words to build others up in our marriage, to build our spouse up, or to tear them down? How's your new mouth? How does that contrast with the way things used to be? But let's continue. Do you serve with new hands? Do you serve with new hands? Do you speak with a new mouth? Do you serve with new hands? You see, new creation hands puts the needs of others first. Philippians 2 says, count others more significant than yourselves. Are you willing to serve others like Christ has served us? This means to serve people when it's not convenient, to serve people when you don't get anything out of it, even when no one will notice. I want to encourage you, if you aren't currently serving in a local church, I want to encourage you to begin serving. We need the whole body serving. If you see on our bulletin all those lists of things that we need, I want to encourage you, if you're not serving, to start serving now. We need people on board to see Christ's kingdom built here in Gainesville and Cook County and to the very ends of the earth. And lastly, I want to ask you this. Do you love with a new heart? Do you love with a new heart? He's called us new creations, but do we have new minds, new eyes, new mouth, new hands, and a new heart? The Old Testament tells us of a time when the Spirit of God will come. When the Spirit of God comes, he will actually come into our hearts, and he will actually do a work in our hearts where he makes our hearts go from stony and hard to fleshy and open. He will actually make us love one another. He's going to do this work in us, but it's got to give us a new heart, a new creation heart that loves to sing, that loves to pray, that loves to read its Bible, to love to worship Christ. But I'm afraid that our hearts often are very divided, because I don't think we understand how much the heart of God loves our heart. You see, I grew up watching another show that I really liked called American Pickers. Anybody ever seen American Pickers? American Pickers, it's a show where two guys go around the country and they begin to look for things that people think are junk, but they're actually treasure to them. And these American Pickers, they go into these old barns and old people's homesteads, and they begin to look for things that people had passed over, and they get it and they take it, they dust it off, clean it up, restore it, they take old things and make them new again, and then they'll take them, in their shelf in a store, and then they sell these things as the beautiful things that they are. They're American Pickers. They just go to these places in America and pick these things and then put them on display. They're able to notice things that other people wouldn't notice. And I like the show. And so once Jennifer and I were in Nashville, Tennessee, and we think, there's an American Picker store here. We're going to go to the American Picker store. That was great. We went and we saw it. It was cool. But one day I got a phone call from my mom. And my mom said, Brady, I got to tell you something. I said, oh, what's that, Mom? She said, the American Pickers are coming to pick your great-grandpa's place. On TV? On TV! Whoa. You see, my great-grandpa lived about 10 miles from where I grew up, and my mom had actually grown up there. It was her home place. But down there, it was a farm area, and down at the bottom of the hill right below their house, they owned an old building that had been an old general store. But over time, it had just kind of withered away, and it had definitely seen better days. And so they began to do that, and you know, I'd been in that old general store many times. As a kid, me and my cousins would go through there, and we would jump through there, all the old stuff. I mean, it was dusty and dirty. It's just filled with junk. And so from 50 years of all of that stuff coming together, we just jumped past it and didn't really notice. But the American pickers were coming to that place. Why would they want all that junk? Why would they want to go there, I wondered. Well, they came and filmed their thing, and eventually we watched it on television. When they came to my great-grandpa's old general store, they went through, and as they began to look through things, they were stepping where I'd stepped, seeing the things I'd seen, but somehow they were different. They thought about it differently than I did. They saw it differently than I did. You see, what I saw was dusty and dirty and junk. They looked at it and began to say, "What's that over there? What's that? Let's move this. What's that? What's that underneath? What is that? Oh, man, that sign is incredible. You know what? We can restore this sign. I've got a spot for it. I can see right now it's going to go perfectly back there in Nashville." And then go over here, they find something else. They say, "You know what? This, oh man, I've been looking for this part for years to go on my motorcycle. I haven't been able to find it. Look, it's under the junk there. Let's grab it. Let's find it and let's take it back." You see, what I had considered dirty and dusty and junk, what they saw was treasure. They saw something completely differently. They saw beauty where I'd seen brokenness. You see, this is exactly how Jesus finds us. We are dusty. We are dirty. We're like junk in an old building. But when he comes to us, he doesn't see us for that. He sees us for what he's going to make us to be. He sees the beauty in the midst of the brokenness. He knows the cost that it's going to cost to pay for us. He doesn't even negotiate the price. He pays full price for us in his own blood. He sends his spirit to come live inside of us and begin dusting us off, making us new, that he might put us on his shelf for all to see. What we must realize is if we are loved like that, not loved just on our best days, but loved on our worst days, what if we realize God really does love us? He loves us enough to send his son to come and pay the price for our sin, that we might not just escape hell, that we might be made completely new again. He wants to turn our brokenness into something beautiful. He saved you to make you what he's always intended you to be. But what if as a church we got this? What if as a church temple we really understood this? What if when people walked into our building, we didn't just see them for what they were wearing? We didn't just see what they look like on the outside, how dusty their lives are, how filled with junk it is? What if we began to see people the way that God sees them, not with the dust and the dirt and the brokenness? What if when people walked in, we saw them for the beauty that God was making them into? What if we, instead of like me, walking past all of that stuff and thinking it's a bunch of junk, a bunch of dusty, dirty nonsense, instead when people come into our lives, when people come into our church, instead of looking what's on the outside, of what's right in front of our eyes, what if we saw the way Jesus saw? And what if we loved the way Jesus loved? What if we had his heart? What if when people came and sat by us, we don't think they're in my pew? What if we think God may have put them there for that purpose? What if when people come in, we're not so concerned whether they have tattoos or earrings or hats on or whatever? What if we began to see people like Jesus saw them? What if we began to look so much like Jesus, people might just think we're new creations? You see, we are called not to something so easy as, let's put a little bit of Christian values on it. We are called to be new creation itself to our community. We are called to be made new. We are called to be the ones who sees the way Jesus sees, because he's picked people out and he has seen people just like the American pickers, and he sees them for who they are. So I want to tell you, if you are here visiting, we see you this morning. We see you. And we see the value of who God is making you to be. We know that right now your life may be, it may feel like it's messed up. It may feel like junk. It may feel like dirt, and it may feel like dust, but I want to tell you what God is doing in you is more beautiful than you can ever imagine. You may not believe me. You may say, Brett, I get that. I understand all that, but I want to tell you, that man who struggles with a meth addiction, God can make something beautiful there. Do you believe that? That failed marriage, that woman who's been in 5 failed marriage, God can make something beautiful out of that. That woman who's cheated on her husband time and time again, God can make something beautiful there. That family that's about to fall apart, God can put it back together. That woman struggling with depression, Jesus can be her peace. I want to tell you, that's why Paul says here that if anyone, anyone, anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. We're all fixer-upper projects. For us to look back and say, well, you're only on week 1 is pretty condescending. We're all his fixer-upper project. What if Temple Baptist Church became a place where broken people were made new again? What if this place was so filled with hope and joy and peace that when people came in, it almost infected them? What if the people of Temple began to look so much like a new creation that people began thinking that the church was a little bit like heaven on earth, a preview of things to come, an outpost, an embassy of the kingdom of God here in Gainesville? What if it were the place where dusty people got dusted off again? What if Temple were a place where old things became new again? What if our reputation became, that's the church where you can go and they'll love you the way you are, but they'll love you in such a way you can't stay that way? What if that was our reputation? Any of you ever seen an old car, an old house, and somebody look at you and say, man, that's seen better days? Some of y'all think about your car right now. But I want you to know that if you are in Christ, what this passage is telling you, if you are in Christ, your best days are ahead. Your best days are ahead. Your best days are ahead. If you don't believe me, I want to tell you the end of the story. Revelation 21, verses 1 through 6. I want to read it to you. It's not going to be on the screen, so I just want, if you'll close your eyes, I want you to picture what I read to you. Close your eyes. Revelation 21, 1 through 6. Then I saw a new heaven. This is the end of all of history, recorded history. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, this is Jesus, behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. You can open your eyes. I want you to know, we know how the story ends. It's with Jesus on his throne, making all things new. But he's telling us, it begins with you. It begins with me. And he's going to renovate our lives until we're the beautiful thing he wants us to be. Because you see, one day, all of these things, there's going to be a big reveal. And when the screen is pulled back, it'll be amazing just how much God had taken brokenness and turned it into beauty. Because I want you to know one thing about our God this morning. He loves to make old things new. And that begins with you. It begins with me. It begins with us. Let us pray. As our men come to make way for the Lord's Supper and our band comes up, I want you to know that the Lord's Supper is a symbolic meal of the fact that Jesus is making us new. It's a reminder of our old self, our old ways, our mind, our old eyes, our old mouth, our old hands, and our old heart. Those things were why Jesus had to come, to die, to be broken for the broken, because he wanted to turn all of those old things into something new. So this morning, as we prepare for communion, I want us to take a moment to confess our sin, all of those old ways of living. Let's confess right now how we've sinned with our minds, with our eyes, with our hands, and with our hearts. Let's confess when we have not seen others the way Jesus has seen them. We haven't served others the way Jesus has served them. We haven't spoken to others the way Jesus would have spoken to them. We haven't thought the way Jesus would have thought. But let us remember Jesus' commitment to make us new. He was willing to come from heaven to walk the dusty streets of the earth he created. He lived in perfect obedience, but yet the religious leaders wanted to kill him. He told the Pharisees that they needed to be made new, that they were whitewashed tombs. He told Nicodemus that he needed to be born again. But he knew the only way anyone could ever be made new is by defeating our sin and death itself. The leaders conspired a mockery of a trial. The crowds yelled, "Crucify him, crucify him." He was taken up the mountain, nailed to a tree. The full wrath of God, the full penalty for all of your old ways, your sin, was completely poured out upon Jesus. He paid the price in full. They put him in an empty tomb. But on the third day, that glorious Easter morning, I want you to know this morning that death could not hold your Savior in the grave. Your sin could not hold him in the grave, because that first Easter morning, Jesus walked right out of the grave, victorious over sin and death forever. In doing so, Jesus is launching a new creation project where he has promised to resurrect all things, and that's going to begin with those who have a relationship with him. That's why Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The Lord's Supper is a symbol that Jesus was broken for our brokenness, but raised that we might become a new creation. Therefore, this meal is for anyone who has a relationship with Christ. And so I want to encourage you, if you are a follower of Jesus, to celebrate this meal with us. Let's go to our Father in prayer.
This concludes a message from Pastor Brady Martin. To find out more about Temple Baptist, visit tbcgainesville.org or facebook.com/tbcgainesville.